Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. This week was Martin Luther King. Should have been his. The whole month belongs to Martin Luther King. But they give him one day, his birthday, to celebrate. And what I want to talk about today is that we have Lake Michigan College here in the city of Benton Harbor and have a history of giving the Martin Luther King Award to white folks. I can't think of a white person in the city in Barron County who should receive the Martin Luther King Award. I can't think of not one. And I'm out here. Matter of fact, I'm way out here. But every single year, Lake Michigan College do the same thing, and nobody say a mumbling word. Nobody say nothing. We sick folks. We need to go to a doctor. I mean, everybody. We're sick. We keep letting these devils do the same thing over and over and over again. You know, we have been in slavery for over 400. We're still in slavery. We haven't got out of slavery. And we got some black folks. We got some black folks that's sick, really sick. That's what it is. So anytime that you have an oppressive mentality, that's when your ego becomes more important than the cause, the future of your children and your children's children. You know, we face a dangerous pigmentation as a society in part because of racism. It is unbelievable. You see, the white man will try to satisfy you with symbolic victories rather than economic equality and real justice. We're never going to get real justice here because, for one thing, we have too many sellouts. We have too many sellouts. And that's why 400 years later, black folks are still not free. 400 years later. You see, I like that part from Martin Luther King when he said, "It is obvious today that Americans have defaulted promissory note. They have given you a bad check that has come back marked insufficient bond and is still bouncing." Black folks, wake up. Talk black to me. Talk black to me. Wake up, black people. Wake up. I don't even see how we can allow a college in our community to continue to give out the Martin Luther King Award that don't do nothing. It's a darn shame. You know, last week I was scheduled to be on the radio at from 1 to 2, and I walked into a trap. I was ambushed, bushwhacked, you see. They had a program that was set with, you know, anything that Tobias going to be part of, you don't want to really be part of anything. I don't care what it is. Don't nobody read that newspaper. Oh, or should I say newsletter? That's a newsletter. There ain't no newspaper. But unfortunately, this is where we at. I would never thought in a million years that Ron Singleton would pull a stunt like he did. Lost all respect for him. All. But it is what it is. Sometimes you just have to move on, you see. You know what you're dealing with here. You know these people. And this is just not here in Benton Harbor. It's all over. This thing is all over. I'm telling you this. It is all over. And then black people be wondering what's going on. It's you. Go home and look in the mirror. That's the problem right there. You see that reflection in the mirror? That's the problem. That's the problem right there. That picture, that person you're looking at in the mirror, he's the problem or she's the problem. And we accept anything. Anything that these white folks say, we accept. Like, they the lyingest people there is in the whole wide world. And yet still, black folk walk around believing them. What kind of mess is that? And then we wonder why our children is going wild. They going wild because of you. And I don't want to say that this whole generation got to die off for, in order for them to be successful. But a lot of these folks got to die. And I'm being real. A lot of these folks got to die. They got to die off. They can no longer be walking around here and talking talking that black talk and kissing up to these white devils. Nobody would believe this. Nobody. We got to change the way we do business. And until we change, things are going to continue just like it is. See, a lot of that people be talking about like the running pack. They don't feel safe. That's why they run in packs. Well, I run alone. I don't feel safe running in a pack because there's too many backstabbers in the black community. You don't know who to trust. For a few dollars more, they'll do anything. They will do anything for a few dollars. And if that means sabotaging whatever you're trying to do, they will do it. See, my feeling is no one is free until we all are free. But some people, you're not going to be able to free them. The hardest prison you face is your mind today. We have people today walking the streets, but their mind is in prison. Never will get out. But we have people today, probably never been to prison, but in prison, not with the bars and with the man. And this stuff is going to continue. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. See, we are in a crisis here. You see, you know, and Dr. King, these are his words in spirit, call us to take courage, action, courageous action to realize a more just world. That includes challenging the criminal legal system that has incarcerated so many. One of the things that we don't understand is the criminal justice system is one of the major problems. This water crisis that we're facing here, it all comes from that. All that comes from that. Everything comes from the criminal justice system, how they always treated us. You know, and you know, I've been watching that movie Emmett Till. That's a powerful movie. You know, listening to that woman talk, I can imagine how devastating that was. You would never have that feeling, but I can imagine how devastating that was. I can see it. Wow. Unfortunate. But it told a story. People walk around and talk about, I can't watch that. What is wrong with you? You living it. Tell me you can't watch it. You living it right now. They're doing the same thing now that they did back there, but they're just doing it a different way. That's all. They're hanging you in the courtroom as usual. They're hanging you on your job as usual. They're hanging you when you go buy food. Because, hey, listen, this pandemic, you look at these prices now. You see, this gives them an excuse to raise the price on everything. There's a lot of stuff I'm not going to be buying now because I'm not going to allow them to get away with that. Look at gas. The reason why the gas is high is because of the pandemic. Stop it. Stop all this crazy stuff. Until you get off your butt and do something, it's going to continue just like this. But listen, I'm going to move on. We got a couple of guests today, and we're gonna let them talk. All right, I'm gonna bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. Yeah, she's down there picking them sugar canes, and Like, I got to bring her in because, you know, that's my dear friend and strong warrior. Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me.
Pastor Pinckney, you talking, my friend, because, but you know what, one good thing about you, Pastor Pinckney, you know, you gonna talk and you gonna speak the truth, but you about action.
Yeah.
And, I every time I think about, you know, when I first met you, Pastor Pinckney, that had people listen to you, I know for a fact that the world, especially there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, would be a whole lot better, a better place for the people there. You know, not just the black people, but for all people. Because, see, one thing that I know that you were doing, that you was trying to help, you know, the white people get their mind right and do the right thing by the people.
Yeah.
That's all. You know, but they despised you. They were so jealous of you. It was just terrible. It was a terrible sight to see that when you would have those meetings at the library and people would, you know, it would be standing room only, people all up against the wall on the staircase, can't get in the building. And they were so jealous of you. I'm talking people that look like you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, they act like they was running around. You know, it offended them that you were, first of all, a man of God, speaking the truth, helping the people, and that bothered them. So what I learned from that, Pastor Pinckney, is that, you know, these people that behave that way, that they got their own agenda.
That's,
you know,
true.
And because they have their own agenda, you know, what we learned, and you taught me well, is that they don't want change because they benefiting mm-hmm. from the way things are.
Absolutely.
They're getting paid kickbacks and all, you know, type of, you know, awards and, you know, like you say, they getting their selfies and everything and making it look like they got a name for themselves and fame and all of that. They was all caught up in that, and that bothered them that you mm-hmm. was that you were, how can I say it, that you were basically taking away their gravy train.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree 100%.
So when I think about people like, what's that one guy down there that ran the SBA people, that black guy that, was it Bong or what was his name, Pastor Pinckney?
I can't think of the name. He retired, the black guy. He worked for Cornerstone Alliance.
Bong or something. I know my husband knows. But, yeah, but you know, that man, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think it's no good place in hell for him, okay? Mm-hmm. Because he was a Negro manager. You know, a lot of people got a lot of names for him, the Uncle Tom, the hand-picked Negro that's been hand-picked and paid to represent us that look like us, but is definitely not for us. You know, you have to, I think somebody had to tap him on the shoulder and remind him that you black.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I don't even
absolutely.
Know if that man realized that he was a black man and those people were using him to oppress his own people.
Man, we got a lot of black folks like that. A lot.
You know, and that's what Marcus Muhammad is doing. You know, but Pastor Pinckney, that man never should have been the mayor. I don't care. You know, he is a savage. You know, he is the devil from the Black Lagoon, and nobody mm-hmm. should have voted for him.
Yeah, I agree. And,
but
know,
because he had on his shiny shoes, like you said. and walking around with the books that he never read.
And had on them old cheap suits. You know, he wear them old cheap suits, and he think that's everything, you know. But that's how black folks feel. They, you know, they looking for somebody who they can hang their hat on, and this is what they like. Oh, I talked to the lieutenant governor earlier today. So what? Did he come with a? Did he have a checkbook?
I'm glad you brought that up. But let me tell you a little bit about what's going on here in Louisiana, Pastor Pickton, because I do have some urgent stuff that's hot and burning that I got to jump on. And I wanted to be out through the duration of your show. I've been trying to make sure I get on your show no matter what, because it's nobody like the Reverend Edward Pickney show that tell it like it is. And give the people an opportunity to have their voices heard, Pastor Pickney. I appreciate you so much. But I know you need to know what's on the radar and on the boiling point down here in Louisiana right now. Like I said, I've been taught by the best, you know, yours truly, you know, the Reverend Edward Pickney, and came down here to Louisiana, you know, home for me. And my people are suffering down here, and they're coming around and they're waking up. And we're in a national news right now, Pastor Pickney. We're in national news, so you're going to see us out there, you know, calling for Louisiana governor to be indicted. You know, back here in May of 2019, they covered up a murder that was worse than George Floyd. You know, this man was beat to death on video by four police officers. They lied and said that he died from a car crash. The governor was running for a second term back in May of 2019. They covered the whole thing up, you know, and what we're saying, anybody that saw that video, knew about that video, and saw these officers murder that man on video, helped cover it up. And that was from the governor's office on down, Pastor Pickney. Our state troopers, you know, everybody was in on it, the high-ranking officials, the lieutenants, the colonels, all of them was in on it. And now that the video leaked by a good officer that came out and exposed it, okay, have joined up with Louisiana United International, and what we're saying now is that we want all the people that covered it up, we want them indicted. The indictments were supposed to come down on January 19th. Come to find out, they did not. So what we're concerned now is that, you know, we want the FBI, we want the Department of Justice, we want all the way to Washington, D.C. and back to come down here and get this mess straightened out, put these savage criminals in jail. You know, you said you was watching that movie about the woman in the movement, Emmett Till's mother telling her son's story about how corrupt these people were in Money, Mississippi, okay? But, you know, Mississippi is number one in corruption and the cover up, and Louisiana is number two in the corruption and the cover up in our government. And what we're saying as a people here in the United States of America, we are no longer going to stand by and tolerate our government beating up on us, bullying us, and then turn around murdering us and covering it up. Pastor Pickney, you know for a fact, if that video for George Floyd, if that little girl had not videoed the scene of that man with his knee on George Floyd's neck, it ain't nowhere in the world we would have him in prison right now. Chauvis, okay? He wouldn't be in prison right now because nobody would have never knew nothing about that knee on George Floyd's neck.
Absolutely.
Pastor Pinckney, go ahead.
I said, thank God for the camera, girl, because I tell you, if it wasn't for these new hand phones, everybody got phones, we don't know where we'll be today, because these folks is for real. These folks is for real. But look.
Right.
You know,
time is running out, but my point is, Pastor Pinckney, is that I want everybody at the listening of your show today, at the sound of my voice, Pastor Pinckney, that, you know, would come to your show, is to know that it's time for the citizens, the people of the United States in America to stand up. And what we're doing, we done positioned ourselves in a very powerful campaign here in Louisiana because we're saying that we are the boiling point. We are ground zero for this type of government corruption when it comes to them creating tyranny on us, you know, beating up on us, bullying us, and then turn around and covering it up through the, and we didn't call them covering it up through the corrupt criminal justice system, like you said earlier. You know, if they didn't have, you know, judges and lawyers and, you know, prosecutors, you know, all of them in cahoots and conspiring and conspiring against us, they wouldn't get away with a lot of this stuff. So what Louisiana United International have done, Pastor Pinckney, we have launched a major, major campaign, and it's called AUI, America United International, and we're calling our government, our president, we're calling on them to be investigated for standing idly by with their hands crossed and twiddling in their fingers, standing on the sideline, watching all of this stuff go on, you know, people dying, families being destroyed, suffering, children, everybody, and they're not doing nothing about it. So I want people to go to our website, Pastor Pinckney. It's called AUI, America United International. .net. It spells out exactly like it is, www.AmericaUnitedInternational.net. Support us. Stand with us. This is our time, and we're going to win by exposing and telling the truth about what they've been doing to us, Pastor Pinckney, for decades.
And you know what? Hey, I strongly support y'all. You out there doing the work, you know, and I love people that's out doing the work and not doing all that talking. And you guys actually got boots on the ground doing what needs to be done, which is really, really, really powerful because, you know, that's where we should be attacking. We should, this criminal justice system, these politicians, that's where we should, because we have been silent for so long. You know, you know, right now, they could tell us anything, and we walk around believing it, you know, knowing that they lying. You know, 99% of the time when they open their mouth, they lie and say, how can you tell when they lying? Their lips is moving. When their lips start moving, we know they lying. So you doing exactly what needs to be done, and I tell you, America,
Will you be an ambassador for AUI, America United International? I would love for you to be one of our leading ambassadors to say what you just said, because you're right. Every time they open their mouth, they lie to us. And the sad thing is that, you know, too many of us have believed what they said and repeated what they said, and we got to stop that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what? I will be proud to be part of that. And you can put my, you can pencil me in, because you know, it's an honor. You know, it's an honor. You know, it's not just, you know, something. People who are actually out doing the work, boots on the ground. You know, and not, here's the key word, not afraid. That's the key.
Right.
Black folks are scared. The only time black folks is tough when it comes to another black person. If you step on their toes, they're ready to kill you. Not all black people, but most of them, You step on their toes, they're ready to kill you. And then they walk around here with a white foot up their butt and ain't saying a mumbling word. You know.
So, well, don't forget about their lipstick on the white butts too, because that's exactly what Marcus Muhammad is doing. But I really appreciate you, Pastor Pinckney. You would be a great ambassador to represent this awesome, strong, powerful campaign that's moving across the country right now. I'm so excited about it because I know we're on the right side and we're going to win, Pastor Pinckney. So, and you know what this is all about. You are a victim of the story that we're telling, that the campaign, you can represent well as an ambassador because you have been a victim of the corrupt criminal justice system.
Amen. Hey, listen. Pencil me in. That and you got me. But look, you got 60 seconds. Tell us what you want us to do, and I got to move on.
Well, real quick, again, Pastor Pinckney, I want everyone to go to the website. Click on like, share it on their Facebook page. Comment and support us. And that's at www.AmericaUnitedInternational.net. Thank you, Pastor Pinckney. You have a great day.
All right. Listen, we'll talk soon. And, yeah, you can pencil me in on that because it's going down, young lady. It is going down. All right now.
All right.
Now I got to bring in the one and only. It's not two of this person. This is the one and only, Marcina Cole. Are you there? Talk to me, Marcina. Talk to me.
Yes, I am. I am here. I hear you got the drums rolling. But
you know it.
You're not going to worry me. But I just want to say we're in 2022, and things not getting any better. I'm very concerned what's going on, particularly with the COVID-19, of course, it hit my family, and my daughter is very ill at this point, and the doctor did a telehealth call or whatever. They're not doing anything, giving the wrong medicine. She says she's getting chest pains or whatever, so she discontinued it. So we're waiting for some other type of treatment other than what the doctor prescribed my daughter. There's so many people still having COVID-19. America's not really talking about that because they want to go in life like nothing is happening. But the real deal is those figures have been distorted. Those COVID-19 figures have been distorted since 2019 when Donald Trump was the president. And it's still been distorted because right now they say that 861,000 people have died. But because of the distortion of the amount of of the death in COVID-19, in the beginning of the COVID-19, when a lot of people didn't know about it because Donald Trump had suppressed the information and everything else. So I would put it now 861,000 deaths, I would say over 1 million deaths. And more than 70 million people have contracted COVID. Now, the World Health Organization, WHO organization, the main leader of that organization, I looked at a video coming from them, and basically said he's looking at 2022 to eradicate COVID-19. But here's the thing. They're talking about going into an endemic, from pandemic to endemic, basically, which means that COVID will still exist, but you won't get the numbers about how many people have died, how many have it. They're not the state, across the nation is not going to keep up with it. So basically, it's just a way to hide information, which the government does pretty good. It's endemic. It's just like, a person having the flu or cold or whatever. They don't they don't keep up with those, with that you know, that information. So they talk about an endemic in place of a pandemic. Now you're going to be hearing that. You're going to hear sporadically some of the states are going to be talking about we're going into an endemic just to suppress the knowledge of what the pandemic is, global pandemic. And the World Health Organization is going to make that call to say, okay, the pandemic's over. They're going to be making that call. I don't know when that's going to be. But we know that we got to carry on and be safe. If we're not safe, nobody else is safe. So we know, Reverend Pinckney, we have to do our part because the government failed us. We don't have national mandates. We don't have a state mandate to protect us from this deadly virus. Got the Omicron. First they said mild symptoms. Now they're saying folks dying from it. You see what I'm saying? So the information has changed. This information is coming out. Even with Rochelle Walensky, the director of CDC, and I always be piling on her. But basically she was saying if a person tests positive for COVID, the quarantine will be shortened 10 days to 5 days. Now, we know it's going to take longer than 5 days to get rid of COVID-19. We already know that. So overall, people are going to be going back to their daily activities, going back to work, spreading it to the people at the job. This is what's going on right now. We got these major supermarket chains, other businesses, Amazon, corporation, folks going back to work and got COVID. Folks never left work and had COVID while they was working because they were asymptomatic. They didn't get the test. The Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, ruled against Biden about having employers test the employees. They went against that. But in the meantime, it's spreading because we know COVID-19, Omicron, and all them other variants, you can't see it because it's in the air. And it lasts for hours. So you walking past somebody and they breathing in and out, like what most people do when they're alive, they going to spread it to you and everybody else near them. So if you go into a supermarket, any kind of place of business, you're going to catch it. You might not know where you got it from, but you're in the public. You know, they got the gyms open. They got a lot of stuff open right now and act as if nothing's happening. I don't know what's going to happen in the Super Bowl. But you know, it's going to be a super COVID-19 going around. You know, so overall, we got to take care of ourselves, you know, have social distancing, wash our hands, make sure you get some fresh air now and then, even though it's cold, kind of open the window a little bit, and that fresh air circulated. Wear a real thick mask, then nothing won't come through there. And not going in the large crowded area, an outdoor crowded area, or even family gatherings. We got to be real careful. And obviously, even if a person not for vaccines, but overall, people who have not been vaccinated tend to have gotten sicker from the COVID-19. It's just unfortunate that so many of us know people who have died from COVID, and some of them had been vaccinated. Some of them haven't been vaccinated. I don't know the figures. I know from people that I know indirectly or directly have died, and they have been vaccinated. I know folks who hadn't been vaccinated and had gotten COVID. My other daughter, she got long-haul COVID. As if she still has it. And it's been going on for 2 years with her.
And so, she's been vaccinated too, ain't she?
Well, you know, at the time when she got it, initially in the beginning part of it, I don't think they had the vaccines ready at the time then. She's been vaccinated now.
Yeah.
She hasn't gotten COVID the second time, but she's going, you know, to a specialist right now to see what's going on with her body, and basically it's a long-haul COVID that's affecting her body. she had pre-existing conditions, but right now she's real careful not to get a second time. There have been people who got a second time, but I mean, she's getting symptoms like she still have it. You know, I'm glad she's working remote, but it's what's going on now. We got to pay attention because we got these so-called leaders out here that act like they're trying to kill us all, you know, with this SARS-CoV-2. And no question about it, because it's not getting better. And I know for a fact that COVID-19 going to be around a long time. That's why they want to change it from pandemic to endemic, you see. So it won't be where, we got to have all these figures and all that about the different states, different countries, territories, continents, all that other kind of stuff. It's like, you know, we're just living, it's like it's a normalcy for us to deal with COVID like you deal with a cold. But it's worse than that because we're dying from it, you know, across the world. And it's unfortunate, but we just got to make sure that we do the right thing and save each other, and particularly our
Absolutely.
Family. And it takes a toll on our mental capacity because it's so stressful to deal with something that we can't see. But I blame them politicians because they care less about us, and I wonder whether they want us to die because they're not doing anything. The Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, they can care less because they know they'll be protected. They'll get the best medicine in the country like Trump did and the rest of the monsters out there, your politicians, white supremacists did. But you know what? I'll touch on that another time. Can I please talk a little bit about changing the subject, but it obviously has intertwined with COVID-19 when it came down to unemployment, because businesses across the country were affected by thousands of people that had gotten COVID out, and their families, when they died, they had no way to have any funds to maintain home and food and all this other stuff. So yes, COVID-19 destroyed a lot of lives, particularly when the loved one, the breadwinner, when it had died. So nevertheless, it was people out here that lost their jobs and was related to COVID, and then they had this federal pandemic unemployment compensation and all that, and laws were in place, and people had that were unemployed had to show proof that they, you know, that they reason why they weren't working was related to COVID-19. And then you also could get regular employment. So the PUA was Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, and then they had the UIA, which was Unemployment Insurance Agency, that would give people who are unemployed. So with millions of people across this country. Well, guess what happened? It ain't the people's fault who got unemployment. The federal government said something went wrong. The people got overpaid. It didn't have nothing to do with us. Okay, so make a long story short, over 600,000 people in the state of Michigan, the claimants here, that's a large amount of people that had to recertify, that even though they had did all they had to do and get their paperwork done, and they had to recertify to get the PUA benefits. And across the country, a lot of people were getting kicked off of unemployment, a fine time to do it in the middle of a pandemic, a global pandemic that's killing folks, you know what I'm saying? And so they take the benefits away, and then they turn around and say, well, you owe over $10,000. This wasn't just the state of Michigan. Over $10,000 for the government's fault. This is what the federal government said. And then they got the state coming after people and saying, if you don't pay $10,500, I'll get throw that out there. If you don't pay $10,500, then you will be filing a lien on you. You're going to have to file bankruptcy, or you got to make some kind of arrangement. And these folks that spent the money for rent, for food, and other necessities, for their family, and they turn around and say, you didn't qualify. We overpaid you. So as far as I'm concerned, there needs to be a class action lawsuit against the state and the federal government. They came after people who struggling the most, who's fighting the pandemic, who's fighting up for survival, who's fighting for a place to stay, who's fighting for food, who's fighting for jobs. And now you're saying that a person owes over $10,000 and up. So this is what the people in America are dealing with. And that's why they want to stop talking about pandemic and go into another meaning, into the endemic, which you don't have to monitor as much as you do with the pandemic. We got people with jobs, and like I said, at the hospital, and Walensky's ruling about the 5-day, back to the 5 days, and all this kind of stuff. The doctors, the nurse union, all that was against that. But guess what's happening now? Weeks later, as she made this ruling, now you got nurses, staff folks coming in the hospital with COVID. And their bosses know about it. They just said, like keep a low profile because we're short of staff. They short of staff because many of the people, you know, the nurses and all the other staff, they didn't want to come to work. Now they're asking to come to work sick because some of them did contract it, COVID. So now a patient goes into the hospital. Guess what happens, Reverend Pinkney? They contract COVID-19. Some of them didn't leave out the hospital alive. Some of them dead, the patient. Mm. And they got it from the hospital. Now you know how they got it from the hospital, because you got folks came to work and had the COVID, spread the COVID, and then they died. They bit some of the patients that come to the hospital for various reasons, didn't have COVID, and then they had to wait 20 hours or more in the emergency room to get waited on, and then when they test them, they test the positive, and we go on to their boom, bang, they're gone. So we're still not there yet with the testing. We're still not there to save people's lives. We still have people, even though there's more people wearing masks at the store, a lot of people aren't. But the point is there's no mandate to stop the folks from coming to place of business without wearing a mask. They're coming in and they're asking, pleading people, would you wear a mask? They don't have to wear no mask because there's no national mandate. They scattered them white folks and white supremacists. So we're dying. Because of that, Reverend Pinkney.
You said the magic word.
We just got to stay on top of things. Keep in mind they're going to change their ruling from global pandemic. They're going to make that call, the World Health Organization, and they're going to call it an endemic. You'll see it coming, Reverend Pinkney. It's already up already. Yeah. So we got to do what we got to do and stay healthy, you know what I'm saying? Make sure, build our immune system, not just going to stop the COVID, but just be mindful of your surroundings so you won't. It's a horrible disease with the type of symptoms that people get that are contracting the COVID-19. It's horrible.
There you go. All right. But now, so you got a chance to get it in today. So it's going down, my girl. It's going down. It's going down. It's going down. That's what I say. Well, listen, I got to let you go, and we'll talk soon. And take care of yourself.
You be safe, and you and your wife and your family.
I will. And don't forget to send no masses. I know you slow at doing things, but go ahead and send them I hope I get them no later than Friday.
Well, you know what? I got some more coming in next week, probably by Tuesday. So wait a minute, that's N95. I got some KN95, so it should be. So I'm gonna add those together and send them to you and your wife.
All right then. All right.
You'll get them next
week.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Bye bye. All right.
Bye bye.
That was my good friend from Detroit, Michigan. Then I got to bring in my good friend James. Yeah, but you know the thing is that, you know, 400 years. Been 400 years, over 400 years, and we are still not free. We're not free. These folks got us surrounded. They you know, they're doing everything. And you can't go to court. If you go to court, you know, you got a 99.9% chance of being convicted for something you didn't even do. 99%. No one is free until we all are free. No one. I don't care what they say. They talking about these folks that wrote us a bad check. They knew the check was bad before they wrote it. They know black people ain't gonna do nothing. And if it's not for them, that you have black people joining in hands with these white folks. You know, who would believe it? They have wrote a check that came back insufficient funds. And I'm telling you, no one is free until we all are free. Until that happens, it's going to continue just like it is. I don't see how we sit around here and do what we do and think everything is okay. Everything is not okay. Everything is not okay. You know, we're a mess. And you want us to go see the problem? Go look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You know, I want to thank Bankalate Thompson. He had went out of his way to secure funds for the Bendenhoffer Community Water Council. And I really, really appreciate that about him. He definitely had done it. You know, a lot of times people, you know, put your money where your mouth is. That's how I look at it. If you say you're going to do something, do it. You know, money is the thing that keep everybody moving. If you got money, you can do so much more. And I don't ask people to send me money because that's how you lose friends. When you ask people to send you money, chances are you're about to lose a friend. We don't need to lose no more friends because I believe there's strength in numbers. I believe that. I believe that there is strength in numbers, you know. And I can't figure this out for nothing in the world. Over 400 years, over 400 years, black folks are still not free. Let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, James, talk to me, James. Tell me what's going on in the world today.
Hey, what's going on, Reverend Pinckney? Well, as usual,
I
like your first
two
callers. I like to listen to them. But also, once again, that trial was this Thursday about the 6-year-old black baby that was executed. I tried to get everyone to talk about it. I had to show our call. You know what I was told? Oh, we can't talk about everything. That's the most worstest killing in the history of the state of Michigan. But they won't talk about it. So when I goes out to the grocery store when I do my little shopping, out in if this was a white baby, what would you all do? And they heard about it, but they don't listen to, you know, talk shows and stuff. They said, you know what your problem is? You people don't fight for yourself. You all are controlled. And I had to think about that. Since Martin Luther King was assassinated, we going downhill. We going backwards. We need to start defunding the civil suits. They have made so much money, they don't care about the average black person now. Bendenhoffer should be the main topic every day from black folks, but it's not. Bendenhoffer is dying. And those are black people. They don't look like us. They are us. They are us. It's no such thing. Look, they are our own people. But our own black leaders now have made so much money, they don't care. I can go back all the way to Ronald Reagan. Every president we had spoke about a new world order is coming. is here. It's here. They control it. They control all the black leaders. You see what I'm saying, Brother Pinkney?
Oh, yeah. I hear you. I hear you.
See, they control
them.
Who used to fight for us, they don't fight for us no more. What used to be illegal, now it's legal to do it to black folks because black folks is doing it to their own race. White people, they ain't got to do it no more. What they used to do to us, our own black leaders is doing it. They are doing it. Now, they had the trial the other day about George Floyd, the other three cops. Mm-hmm. And I noticed something that I noticed in the first trial. See, when George Floyd, I agree with them. George Floyd was murdered. They never blurred out his face. They actually showed to the world this man dying. They showed his lips, his eyes, all day long. Now they want to blur it out. So what are they putting in our mind? See, they want us to see a man suffering so we all can get mad and angry.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the problem. Rodney King got beat in L.A., the L.A. riot. Right? What the white folks say? Oh, you didn't see what you saw. But when George Floyd got killed, it's black folks saying, you didn't see what you saw. Because they had a two-night special called George Floyd, I Can't Believe. It was televised on Court TV. Now, if you had seen that, it would open up your eyes. They won't show it no more. See, we are being set up by our own black leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They brought out, what's her name in Congress? Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King III for that trial. But what about the people that wasn't killed by a so-called white racist? See, they don't care about that no more. It's all about money. It's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the song, For the Love of Money, You Will Sell Your Own Mother?
Absolutely.
That is our black leaders. They done sold us out.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to any white neighborhood, they don't have vacant houses. We got more vacant houses on one street than white folks got in their whole community. See, that's how you lose your power. You don't have your neighbor next door no more. It was all by design. When white folks went to D.C. January 6th, they didn't have no leader. They went. They went because they are together. And for us not to be together, how can we go to D.C. and the leader is telling us before we get on that bus, Congress is not there. They're on vacation. So what the hell did we go for? Just like Detroit, they will not march downtown. You ain't got to go to D.C. You can go to the state capitol in Lansing, or you can go downtown Detroit. But them black leaders, they know not to go. That's why they want to take you way to D.C. And then who in their right mind would get on the bus and you've been told Congress is not there? So what the hell did you go for? To listen to a man with a glove on his right hand with the finger wave? Come on. I applaud these white people. See, they're going to fight for what they believe in, whether it's right or wrong. We've been programmed. Don't fight. And I hear it every day. Oh, we don't condone violence, but you condone your people to keep taking violence done to them.
See,
we can't wake up. Because if you don't have your neighbors to go next door to talk to about your problem where you live, that's all by design. So who are you telling every day your problem to? They're not helping you. You got to get your neighbors back. Because that's who got your back. It's your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get them back. White folks don't have vacant houses. It's all by design.
Mm.
See, it's all by design. And I applaud you. I applaud you when you said you went to D.C., but you had enough sense to know when to go, when the doors was open, not closed. See?
Absolutely.
But we can't wake up because behind this baby got assassinated and the babysitter and the baby daddy. I even hear callers calling and talking about, oh, we can't talk about everything, but you're talking about Black History Month. Ain't nobody dead next month. See, for some reason they are programmed, not this assassination. This is the most gruesome killing. How do you hold a six-year-old black baby face down to the floor and shoot him twice in the back of the head, close range, blow his brains out of his head? Then you get the 28-year-old babysitter same thing. Held face down in the basement floor, two shots to the back of the head, blew her brains out, then decapitated her head off of her neck. And then they say, we can't talk about everything.
Wow. That,
the black
that
race is broken. It's broken.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way Ben
yeah.
Harper should be still having dirty water. They shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's for a reason.
And remember this, Jane. They don't want to talk about, because, see, black people is not going to talk about nothing that's going to upset these white folks. They ain't gonna say nothing that's going to upset
right.
these people. They rather suffer, and they rather for their children to suffer. They rather for their children's children to suffer than to say anything about these white devils. And they willing to do it even at the expense. They don't want to say, oh, you shouldn't be saying that. Don't tell me what I shouldn't be saying. You just don't say it. That's all.
Right.
Don't worry about what I say.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else they told me. Now, I asked them also, the white folks, about this killing. They said the reason why your people most likely will not talk about that, because that would have been an uproar for the younger black youth, and the younger youth would have woke up. But see, the older generation, they ain't going to wake up. They've been programmed. See, they didn't program these young youth. That's why they don't want to talk about this massacre, because young people would do something about it. The older generation won't. Ben Harbor still got lead in the water. Maybe it'd take a white man to come up to Ben Harbor and say, well, we better not get no black pastors up here. Then maybe the black pastors will come. But they got to hear from a white man to say that.
Oh, for sure.
We are a broken race of people, and we just cannot be helped no more because we're doing it to our own people. So evidently these other pastors down in Detroit doing the work of the devil.
Yeah.
And the people should wake up to go to church and say, well, pastor, I'm not paying my tithes. I'm finna do the work of the Lord and give my money to Ben Harbor. They need to wake up. They need to wake up, but they won't.
They programmed not to wake up. They programmed to sleep. That's
right.
That's what they're doing.
Thank you for your show, Reverend Pinckney. I thank you. And if you ever go to D.C. again, just keep up the best work. Go when they are open, not when they're on vacation. Because if they're on vacation, they're not going to go home and look at TV and see who's at the state capitol. This is how black is controlled.
Yeah.
And I give the white folks all the credit in the world. They had enough sense to go when the state capitol was open, whether it was right or wrong. And then we're going to defend the state capitol, and the state capitol ain't did nothing.
Yeah.
Like you said, wrote a check. I bet you that civil suit check, I bet you it was some good for $27 million. I bet it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
See, our leaders is no longer leading us. They are against us.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep up the good work, because I'm going to support you.
Hey, I appreciate 100%, that.
Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, you know what? I really, really appreciate that, because, you know, we just have to understand that, you know, the fight is, you know, it's not really about us. It's really about the future. I think that's where we dropped the ball. All these years, we failed to build for the future, a foundation. And any time that you don't have a foundation, you can't build upon it. And I think that's where we have dropped the ball. And I think that's where we at today. And it's unfortunate, but we have to get out here and do what we have to do. Regardless what anybody else say or what anybody else do, we got to do what we have to do. And if they're not with us, we need to run right over them. If you're not with me, that means you're against me. And I'm going to run right over you. You know, and
tell them just like George Bush Jr. told Congress when they went to war. Is that what now?
George Bush Jr. told Congress
when they went to war, you either with me, Congress, or you with the enemy. So we need to tell our so-called black speakers, you either with us or you with the enemy.
Yeah. And there's no in-between. There you go. All right, big fella, we done ran out of time. But remember.
Okay, and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you.
All right, my brother. And listen. We have just ran out of time, but next week, same time, same station.
Everybody have a beautiful, beautiful week. Let's fight together. Let's stand together. Let's do it.
That's right.
We can do this. Let's do it.
Welcome to the new...